The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is A Numbers Game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course the DK Network. It's A Numbers Game. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin in the hizzy. How you doing, Kelly?
I'm doing great. We got a great crew. I'm sure our director, Matt, loves it when I just jump in the chair 2 seconds before the show starts. Yeah. I had to turn down pterodactyls.
You go to the restroom during shows. You just make it back in time.
Yeah.
Not the old,
a good crew.
Not the old camel over here. I just sit right in my seat.
Incredible. Is that a stat I can share on air of all the years I've worked with Gil Alexander?
Please.
So what have we worked together for now? 4 years, something like that? Mm. 4 years?
Yeah.
2 shows. Primetime Action was 3 hours long. Him and Matt Brown in the entire history of that show never left to go take a restroom break.
Look at me.
That's weirder.
Swelling with pride. I didn't think we'd start the show with that stat, but here we are. On the show today, Drew Dinsick joins us to talk NFL week number 15. Paul Carr on the Champions League and Peter Futak. Yes, he will return to the show after last week's episode. He'll be back. We'll talk college football. We didn't even get a chance to talk bowl games with him last time, so we will. We got sidetracked. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Last time. Okay, where do we begin? Oh, my God. I'll tell you where we begin. RIP to my millions entry, by the way. I got I couldn't quite get to the quarter pole being eligible for the cash. It's gone. So let's just RIP to that. Pour out a 40 for my circa million entry. As far as those two games last night, we will get to them here momentarily. I just want to point out the survivor stats for those who missed it. Circa millions, $9.267 million on the line, 9,267 entries, all at $1,000 a pop. We entered this week with 30. We entered last night with 21 entries remaining. We come out of last night with 13. Seven perish on the Miami Dolphins. Excuse me, seven on the Green Bay Packers. One on the Miami Dolphins. 13 left, Kelly. Intrinsic value of each of the 13. $712,846.15.
Yeah. That's nice.
It's Kelly's deep dive insight. Yeah. So I'd
start scrambling for a lawyer right
well,
now.
Well, so here's the thing. So the notion of a chop obviously now comes up. With 30, it's the one room philosophy, right? You can't really fit 30 people in a room.
Right,
let's just take our table here at the D, this lovely shield shaped table we have at Bar Canada. We could fit 13 people around this table.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay. So once you can have a quiet conversation, you ought to be thinking chop. Now, I think it would make sense to chop. Now, well, there's going to be a comma here and a but afterwards. Just let's get through the first part. Let's hold two thoughts in our heads. But I think it makes sense to chop. For instance, when you have 13 now, you could say, all right, everybody, guarantee ourselves 500K.
Right. Yeah.
That's 6.5 million. You'd play for the other 2.7-ish.
Sounds great to me.
Sounds great to you, right?
Sounds fantastic.
And so everybody's like, oh, of course you do that.
Right.
Here's the thing. It's probably still a dog to happen.
Oh, totally. With 13, there's too many. There's going to be one or two of those guys.
So you know what I've said all along. And there's multiple reasons why it's a dog still. One, I've said this for years. Someone thinks it's them who's gotten here on skill that surpasses the skill of anyone else. They think they are so smart that they will, you know, bust on other people's plays, right? For instance, and they believe that they are just superior to others. That's one possibility why one of the 13 might say, I don't need a chop. I'm getting the whole kit and caboodle. By the way, kit and caboodle cashes on the show again. The other person, there might be another scenario where someone, one of the final 13, and let's keep in mind, some are going to be individuals here. Some are going to be, at this point, duos, trios, maybe even groups, depending on who's invested and how. One of those entries, however it's constituted, is going to think that the contents of their entry, not their skill, but that their remaining teams are superior to others' remaining teams.
Which is fair.
Which is fair, although I would think this year felt chalkier than any. So I'm not sure anybody has any distinct advantage over anybody else, but someone might think that. Reason number three that a chop might not happen. It's $9.267 million. Betting is just a reflection of the human condition. Forget the skill, forget the entry contents. Someone is just going to be so drunk, intoxicated, whatever metaphor you want to use, that 9.267 million is out there, that the notion of chopping to any degree, having come this far, would be a letdown for them. And so their brain can't get to a chop. And here's reason number four, which I'm not sure anyone considers. We know some of the, we know Adam Burke, our own Adam Burke is still alive. By the way, Paulie was one of the Green Bay guys. I feel sorry for anybody who gets knocked out this late. It's horrible.
Yeah.
Good. But our own Adam Burke is still alive, right? I know one other, we know the mistake guy, Jonesy, Greg Jones from LA. He's still alive. I know of another entry. We know a pretty good percentage of the remaining entries. What we don't know is if one of these entries isn't one person or two people or three, but let's say it's eight.
Yeah.
Let's say before the season started.
Then it's not $500,000.
Correct. So if you chopped it, if you begin with an eight, I'm just throwing out eight. I don't know, but I'm just saying for all the reasons why a chop is still a dog at this point, if you're in an entry where you have eight guys or girls, all of a sudden, this scenario that I give are like, okay, everybody take a half million. They're going to be like, that's less than six. That's five figures for me, guaranteed. I'm not doing that. That's all it takes for there not to be a chop. So I think it's still a dog, even though it makes perfect sense if we don't, you know, in our brains that aren't involved in this. Oh, of course you chop. Now, I don't think it is a favorite. And, you know, that's just how this is. Now, when it gets to what I texted Felika and Will yesterday was, I think when you get to five or six, then it becomes like you must. Like last year, that was perfect, right? It was three at the end. They each guaranteed themselves seven figures. They played for the rest of it. And it was a $6.133 million. But right now with 13, I don't think it's going to happen yet.
So either. Yeah, I always go back to the poker tournament comparison. You ain't ever getting 13 people to shop on a poker tournament. Yeah. That's never happening. There are more favorable entries out there. And yes,
incrementally sure.
You laid it out perfectly. Yeah. I'm sure there are one or two people that think they're in a much better position than others. And then there are one or two people that think they are untouchable and cannot possibly lose anything this NFL season. And they want to just ride it out.
I just want to say congratulations to the 13 who are involved. Those that are involved in 13.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
This one disintegrated. This what did Will Ferrell say in Anchorman? Yeah, in Anchorman. He's like, well, that escalated.
That escalated quickly.
It really did. This one. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, it's wild. I keep thinking too when you're talking about like the money, the amount of money. It's like whatever movie or show that was where it's like $1 million isn't cool. $1 billion is cool. Like that's kind of where you know what I mean. We're like $500,000. That's sweet.
This time last year, 30 were still alive. 30 entries were still alive. Yeah. Which we only fit one of these two games in here for a segment. Which would you like to start with?
Oh, it's at the Giants.
The Gigantes. All right, we could pick this one up at halftime. 10-7 Green Bay at the half. In a first half that was noteworthy, I think, for, you know, a couple reasons. The only one of which I want to get into is Saquon Barkley going into the end zone and flipping the ball up in the air like a millimeter after he got in. Like, why do we do this? Why do we do this?
I don't know. And usually I'm fully on your side of this, Gil. So assuming you're angry about it and flustered, then why would you even do it? I feel like he was very, very aware, though. Like, I feel like he was looking exactly where he was at. Because usually I'm the first guy to go and crush those guys, too.
10-7, Packers at the half, third quarter, Giants 3-and-out. But on a Jamie Gillen punt, Keyshawn Nixon muffs it, recovers it, fumbles it again, recovered by the Giants, set up at the Packers 31, three plays later, Saquon in from one. DeVito for 26, the play before that. And the Giants lead 14-10 with 11:22 left in the third quarter. Then after a Green Bay 3-and-out, a punt from Daniel Whelan. The Giants return the favor, hits Bobby McCain in the back. Rudy Ford recovers, pack set up at the Giants 14. They have to settle for a Carlson 32-yard field goal. The 14-13 Giants halfway through the third. But then the Giants, 10 play, 75 yards. DeVito to Hodgins from 8 out, 21-13. 1:28 left in the third quarter, set up by DeVito to Wandale Robinson for 25, three plays earlier. Wandale Robinson was everywhere. Then 21-13, Carlson misses a 45-yard field goal. So for the survivor folks and for those of us who had Green Bay and Millions, we're like, okay, well, this is over. Yeah, not so fast. After a Giants 3-and-out, Carlson then does hit a 48-yard field goal with 5:30 to go. Would you have kicked the field goal there, down 8, 5:30 to go?
No.
He did.
Not at all.
Giants then up 5, first and 10th, their own 48. And here's where, like, if you were one of these Packers folks, you were dead. And then Saquon Barkley goes for 33 yards. He trips up. He stumbles. He regains his footing enough so that when he falls forward to the turf and then fumbles it randomly, somehow the Packers jump over him. He's untouched, recovered by Carrington Valentine, who returns it 50 yards to set up the Packers at the Giants 36 with 3:34 to go. All of a sudden, you're like, oh my God, what an escape this would be. And sure enough, 8 plays later, Love to Malik Heath in the end zone. Oh, by the way, this is the other thing I want to talk about. He goes to Malik Heath in the end zone. Love, 2 feet down, control.
Oh, yeah.
And they say no catch. I know nothing.
This is another week where we know nothing about what a catch is.
Everything we've ever learned, that's a touchdown. It's not.
I thought it was.
Next play back to Heath in the corner of the end zone. He stretches it in. 22-21 Green Bay. They don't convert the 2-point conversion because Jaden Reed can't get in. Aikman, by the way, before that play, before the 2-point conversion, informs the audience, quote, this becomes a big 2-point play. So it's 22-21, 1:33 to go. And then the unflappable Tommy DeVito to Robinson for 5, to Saquon for 7, to Clayton for 9, then to Wandale for 32, all the way to the Green Bay 22 with 42 seconds to go. That sets up the walk-off Bullock game-winning 37-yard field goal. Good. Giants never deserve to lose it. They don't. 24-22. DeVito 4-for-4 for 53 on that game-clinching drive. 209 yards rushing for the Giants. They deserved it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, what a roller coaster that was at the end of that game. We'll come back. Drew Dinsick joins us. Much to talk about. We're coming back. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're looking for a betting edge this college bowl season, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber with an introductory offer of only $9.99. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests, tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving every game, and our college bowl betting guide where you get picks for every bowl game. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to sign up for only $9.99 and become part of the Sports Betting Network. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the D. By the way, Felica live texting the show. Kelly, he says to me, he goes, what are you talking about? Sitting around the table at the D with 13 people and having a quiet conversation? You can't do anything quiet at the D. It's probably true. All right, before we get to Drew, I want to address the Tennessee-Miami game because we didn't get to that. Just to go through that the way we did the Giants. Giants, okay, Dolphins first drive started their own 28. This is a drive where they had like multiple injuries. They matriculate. Second and goal, the Tennessee 2. Tua fumbles the snap. He recovers it. He's hit by Jaleel Johnson. He fumbles again. T.K. McClendon Jr. recovers. All right, first Dolphins gaffe. Tennessee then returns the favor and they say, don't worry about your gaffe. We'll give it right to you. Levis throws it point blank range to Zach Zeeler. Pick 6 from 5 yards out, 7-0. Miami, fourth play of the ensuing drive, Tua to Reek, 6-yard loss, tackled awkwardly by Sean Murphy bunting. Looks like a serious injury. He gets up dramatically and sprints off, but we wouldn't see him again until the second half. Tennessee gets a game-tying drive, 14 plays, 86 yards. Henry in from short distance, 7-7. That was a drive assisted by Bradley Chubb getting penalized, if you remember, for taking off his helmet terrible. After getting frustrated that he had Levis hemmed in but couldn't sack him on a third down play that would have forced a field goal. Then Sanders gets a field goal blocked. Full gets a field goal. We go into halftime. Tennessee's up 10-7. Miami has 0 offensive points. Let's fast forward. It's 13-10 now after they trade field goals. Miami, last play, third quarter. Tyreek is back in the game. Immediately, Tua to Tyreek for 23. 2 plays later to Tyreek for 25. That gets him a field goal to tie it up at 13 apiece. Tennessee 3 and out. All right. Miami punts, but Jake Bailey's punt. This is late. This is now in the fourth quarter. 13-13 game. Jake Bailey punts. An inexplicable decision by Eric Guerra, I believe you pronounce it, to field a punt that bounced, hits him, can't corral it, recovered by Elijah Campbell. Miami set up first and goal to Tennessee 7. 2 plays later, Mostert in from 3. Miami up 7. 5:28 left in the game. First play from scrimmage, ensuing drive. Levis pitch to Henry, doesn't get there. Fumble recovered by Chubb. Sets up Miami at the Tennessee 12. 2 plays later and an offside. Mostert in from 5. And all of a sudden, from maybe losing the game, Miami is not only winning it, but they might cover.
They're covering.
And you're like, what am I watching? By the way, you're watching both games, so maybe you're not watching any one of them carefully.
Exactly.
All right, Tennessee then. This is again, less than 3 minutes into this game, less than 3 minutes left in this game, they're down two touchdowns. It's a nine-play, 75-yard drive. It took only 154. Everything on Levis's arm to Hopkins from three out. Then down eight. What does Mike Vrabel do?
Go for two.
Goes for two, and they get it to Westbrook Akine. So now it's a six-point game. Then, I mean, here's the thing about McDaniel. This was a terrible sequence for them because the Titans kick it away. They have all three timeouts left, and Miami goes run, and then a penalty. Titans don't even have to use all three of their timeouts. They get the ball back, take over at their own 36 with 2:15 to go. They're down six. Immediately, Levis to Hopkins for 36, then to Okonkwo for 15. 2 minutes to go. Two plays later, Henry in from four. They're winning by a point with 1:49 to go, and then Miami with no timeout start at their own 26. They get it to fourth and two at their own 48. Tua gets sacked. Ball game. 767 times in a row, down 14. Less than 3 minutes to go. Teams lost until last night. We bring in Drew Dinsick from the Deep Dive. And, of course, Bet the Edge podcast from NBC Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at @whale_capper. Sorry to subject you to all that, Drew, by the way.
No, that was a good, that was a perfect recap. And I mean, do you want to spend this entire 7 minutes talking about that game? Because that was like the truly insane stuff. I have never seen anything like it.
I mean, there's so many tentacles to this. You can start wherever you want, which is, first of all, what a horrible loss for the Dolphins. Again, like the Jaguars last week, could have been the number one seed, got to the doorstep of it, couldn't get there. Vrabel on the analytics, that's another sort of tentacle. Did Tyreek enhance his MVP candidacy by how anemic the Dolphins were without him on the field and how good they were with him? And then did Mike McDaniel's coach of the year candidacy go out the window? I mean, there's so many things. You start wherever you'd like on that.
Yeah, McDaniel belly flop, no question. Vrabel analytics was a complete surprise. I have to tear up my my Mike Vrabel characterization file. Rethink that one. Brilliant decision by him. The Tua performance was I shocking. I thought granted some of that is he's working behind now an offensive line that's dealing with cluster injuries. Cluster injuries matter. New center in game like that definitely had an impact. As noted with the key fumble on the first scoring opportunity. But that's worth following going forward. The Tyreek Hill MVP case, I think, falls a little flat. Number one, because he doesn't accrue the stats he needs to get to 2,000. He needed to break the record, I think, to really be considered. And honestly, if anything else, what happened yesterday shows you how much more important the quarterback position is. I thought, if you have a guy that's not able to get it done, then that's kind of the more important than if you have a wide receiver who can break open the game. But we'll see what people think. I think he's still squarely gets fourth or fifth. People are going to vote for him, but he's not going to beat out these top three quarterbacks, I don't think. The Dolphins really under the radar. The Dolphins had a bunch of injuries in game that I think mattered. A bunch of those guys returned, but they're going to be dealing with treatment all week on a short week now before they play the Jets, who are all of a sudden a very tough out. They have quietly accrued two pretty important injuries on the defensive front seven in the last 2 weeks. Jalen Phillips obviously was notable in the Jets game on Black Friday, where he tore his Achilles. But Jerome Baker went out last week with an ACL, and he had played quietly 750 very, very solid snaps at middle linebacker for this Dolphins team so far. And now they're backfilling there. It was pretty obvious that, when you have a 14-point lead, you want to rush the passer successfully and put away the game. And the Dolphins weren't able to do that. And I think that's something that has to kind of stick in terms of understanding how this team's going to ultimately be able to win if and when they get into the playoffs. And, it was kind of just another reminder, as you get these every single week, it feels like, and have two of them on the same night was kind of insane. But it's hard to win in this league. The margins between the best and the worst are very narrow, and the ball bouncing in weird ways at the end of games can dictate things. And credit to the Titans for playing to win. The Dolphins left the door wide open for the Bills to come and pick their pocket and steal the AFC East. I guess it was a great outcome for those of us who want entertaining football, because week 18 Dolphins Bills now is that much more likely to be your primetime game that decides the division, which is freaking awesome.
You said you had a phrase in there: if and when the Dolphins make the playoffs. I just want to have this conversation. They're 9-4. Sure. They're 9-4. They get the Jets at home this week. Then they get Dallas at home, at Baltimore, and as you just mentioned, Buffalo. Yep. I mean, is there a
9-8 is 9-8 is in the realm of possibility, Gil.
Well, 10-7 certainly is. Let's give them 10-1, right? Yeah, but 10-7 should be enough, we think. But man, to even have this discussion, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, this is a weird year. The kind of lack of just kind of excellent teams and teams that are just able to pull away from the pack has been pretty obvious to everyone watching, I think. And I don't remember another year where we've been in the middle of December and the playoff field is this undecided, let alone seeding. There are 11 teams that are very firmly alive in both the AFC and the NFC right now. And I mean, if the goal of parity, if the goal of kind of the salary cap era was to, you know, keep as many teams alive as long as possible, like this was sort of the exact outcome they were hoping for because, 22 teams out of 32 having a realistic, you know, chance to have a playoff game is pretty amazing. And I mean, my entire thesis going into last week was, the market seems very sure of a lot of these division winners when it's still a lot of football left to be played and very, very small margins between these teams. And I think, I think the leaders from last week, you know, maybe 4 out of 8 ultimately get there, 5 out of 8. Like there's going to be some chaos and some turnover at the top outside of the Niners winning the NFC West. I don't know that you can say with high confidence that any of these teams is, very likely to get it done. And, the fact that there are live challengers combined with the fact that the teams at the top have questions is kind of the perfect storm for this.
Yeah, I gave out 3 futures plays yesterday. The Chiefs to get the number one seed at 10-1 took a step up. But the Packers 9-1 to win the division, that died a quick death. Obviously, by point spread, the Dolphins loss was worse, but the Packers was just as bad, right, for their purposes.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I mean, and not just because the Packers needed to win out realistically to get to 11-6 to win the North, I thought, because in order to flip the Lions, they need the help of the Vikings. But now if the Vikings are beating the Lions, then the Vikings are ahead of you. So,
right.
Yeah, that was a bad, very bad outcome for the Packers. And that's what a young team apparently does when they spend a week reading about how amazing they are. They go out and they lose to Tommy DeVito.
We are amazing. Reading the old press clippings is what they used to say. People used to clip press stuff. Kelly, they used to clip them, apparently, I guess. We'll come back. Drew's Week 15 thoughts. Maybe some NBA as well. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, got to take a break and talk about Zyn nicotine pouches. We're always debating what a team needs to do to get to number one, but Zyn nicotine pouches, they're already there. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Pardon me. Bar Canada. At the D here in downtown Las Vegas. Drew, am I allowed to say what we just talked about off air? Can I introduce you?
Oh, yeah, of course. Obviously.
He's not only the co-host of 2 podcasts, ladies and gentlemen, Drew Dinsick, Deep Dive with Andy Molitor, and of course, NBC Sports Bet the Edge. But he's a very humble guy as well. I don't know if we've ever brought this up. Maybe once we've brought it up in all the times we've had him on either show. He was also a D1 swimmer at Duke. Accomplished swimmer as well. He never talks about it. So shout out to Drew Dinsick for your swimming prowess. What was your big event? What was your best?
Best event was probably the 200 breaststroke. 4 and IM was number 2. And then the distance freestyle events were number 3 for me. But I know. I figured you wanted to spend the next 10 minutes talking about the U.S. Open of Swimming going on right now. Because it's a big meet, Gil.
Not so much.
We got trials. Trials are in Omaha in June. And then, Olympics in Paris this year. Like, things are heating up.
I swam in college too, Gil.
Did you?
Yeah. At Florida State, I swam from one keg to the other.
Butterfly. Yeah. By the way, if there were betting on such an event, you would be all about it, wouldn't you?
Oh, we did. This will be the first swimming I truly handicapped was Rio, which was 2016. 2016. I had the odds from London, but I didn't know that I could bet it on it then. But I bet Rio in 2016, Tokyo. We were very, very successful. That was a really, really fun event to bet. And then they offer a pretty decent staking offshore in the swimming for gold medals and just total medals. You know, their Olympic betting is an absolute delight.
You love it. Yeah. All right. Well, let's conclude the swimming conversation by telling everybody what your biggest swimming concern is now as an adult. What is it? What you shared with us?
So I didn't, it's the chlorine with the hair, obviously. I had short hair throughout my entire young adult life because the chlorine in the pool would just absolutely fry my hair. I could not grow it long, like period. Like there was no way to keep it healthy. And so now if I were to try to get back into swimming shape for like a big, you know, open water swim event or something like that, or a competition, I would be very concerned about the follicle impacts.
The follicle impacts. This guy. Drew, what'd you end up in week 15? What'd you end up for with week 15 in the NFL?
Week 15 is a tough one. There's a couple of good angles, I think still. Jets were my most anticipated look before we saw last night's action, and that has now come across the a nice double-digit threshold. And so the Jets are +9, which makes them a little less appealing to me, but I think that's still fair. My number there is 7.5. I like the Ravens laying 3.5 at a very cheap -103 right now against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Consider me not impressed by the Jaguars defense in any way, shape, or form, and consider me extremely impressed by the performance Lamar Jackson came up with to beat the Rams last weekend. I think in general, the Ravens are probably a team that is peaking at the right time and going to close strong here. I don't really know how they match up against the Niners, and you know, very excited to see what kind of status, you know, health status they have heading into that game on Christmas. But I think if there's a shocker in the works in the MVP market, it is potentially Lamar Jackson stealing this from Brock Purdy. It's kind of noteworthy, I think, that Lamar had not really put together a very impressive advanced statistical profile through the first half of the season. But he was the best player in any game of any position on the football field in week 14. And if he has a couple more of those in some high profile games here, as you kind of know, they're playing some tough teams, the Ravens are, and they have a good but beatable defense. And I think that's going to kind of force the offense to continue to emerge. Odell Beckham Jr. finding some, you know, kind of some gear that I didn't know he still had, combined with Zay Flowers' emergence, and really just forcing Lamar outside of his comfort zone in the absence of Mark Andrews. All of this kind of stirs together to be what I think is potentially a very effective offense down the home stretch there. So I'll take the Ravens against the Jaguars, even laying the hook there. And then only other thing I bet so far this week was the under in the Bears Browns game. 38.5, a little juicy to the under. I don't mind selling down to 37.5 there. You have a Browns offense now that, while, you know, a somewhat resurgent offense led by Joe Flacco, has lost another tackle going up against a Bears defense that is still underrated by market, in my opinion. I think the Bears are playing at a top five defensive level right now. And good luck to Mr. Justin Fields, who holds onto the ball for an absolute eternity up against Myles Garrett and company on the road. Like, this is a really bad spot for the Bears offense. So I would guess that the winner in this one probably has somewhere in the ballpark of 13 points. So happy to be on under 38.5.
All right, let's do a little rapid fire. Let's rewind back to your little MVP aside there. We know that you have Purdy tickets. So do I. You mentioned that Lamar could sneak it in. You were not a fan of Tyreek in terms of the way I couched it, making a better case for himself last night in absentia. But the obvious question then is, but you're not a Dak guy who's the short shot. Why?
Well, I think the Cowboys, number one, they're dogs this week to Josh Allen and the Bills. A loss there and getting outplayed by Josh Allen, I think, throws a lot of cold water on his case. I'm not saying that I think the Cowboys certainly will lose, but that's a huge potential stumbling block. And then the matchup against the Dolphins is problematic for the defense, where I think you have, you know, if the Dolphins are at full strength in terms of, you know, Waddle and Hill being out there, speed can kill that unit. And I think the Cowboys could lose one or both of their next two against the AFC East, which I think is a huge, huge problem for Dak. I also don't really understand why people are kind of putting him ahead of Purdy when there's a pretty clear, obvious head-to-head win in favor of Purdy, when Purdy's advanced numbers are better than Dak's.
Every category. And every category.
Yeah. And, you know, if basically by every statistical measure you want to make this, lean Purdy, but because of anchoring, we're going to make it a tie. Well, Brock Purdy has the two best tiebreakers over him, which are his seed is going to be better. Their team is going to be seeded higher, and he has a head-to-head win that was extremely impressive. So, I think Purdy should be the clear favorite right now, and I look at Lamar being sort of the outsider's chance more than Dak, because Dak Prescott cannot beat Brock Purdy this year, guys. He can't do it. He had his chance and he lost. Lamar can beat Brock Purdy head to head, and it's going to be in a very high profile game. So, I personally think it's a 3-horse race right now with Dak, Brock, and Lamar. I mean, if Dak wins and Purdy stumbles and Lamar just never puts up anything impressive statistically, or if somebody else like the Chiefs you mentioned gets the one seed instead of the Ravens, because the Ravens lose some hard fought games, then, Dak can absolutely win. I'm not saying he cannot. I just don't think he should be, the short shot right now. I would actually put him third behind, Purdy and Lamar, just in terms of how the path breaks for them to actually get the award.
Yeah. What I said yesterday was it's Dak's schedule, you know, moving forward, which you alluded to as well. So I think that's the curve, you know, that's the topic sentence of that answer. Okay. Coach of the year, real quick, the top four guys in the market all lost this week. What do you make of this now?
It's wide open. If the entire time that this has been a discussion, if you give me a vote, I'm always picking Kyle Shanahan, because I look at this through the rubric of, if you have a coach draft, who am I taking first? That should be my coach of the year, and it would be Kyle Shanahan. So I think ultimately he is going to get consideration, and at 10-1, that's going to get shorter, especially, you know, considering there could be some stumbling blocks for these guys ahead of him this week. I'm looking squarely at the, you know, Sean Payton and Shane Steichen and Mike and McDaniel in saying that. But the the Niners are potentially going to be two wins clear of the field if they beat the Ravens on Christmas night. So that could be enough to get Shanahan home. I get the case for basically everyone else, and if you want to kind of like credit Stefanski for having his team in position to get a clean playoff spot in a tough AFC, given that he's done it with six quarterbacks or whatever it is, that is impressive. Yes. Shanahan to me has been done the best job this year. And, I would give him a serious look at 10-1.
Yeah. Campbell, Ryans, McDaniel, and Steichen all losing this week. They are the four shortest shots on the board. And I think you're right. If you were having a draft, that's one way to look at it. Shanahan would be your number one pick. Real quick, 30 seconds. Any NBA tonight, sir?
I didn't play any tonight, and honestly, as fun as the in-season tournament was, it kind of ruined what is usually a very fun, hot stretch of betting for me, because it reset the rest for everyone. It gave a bunch of the teams who weren't competing extra rest, and basically reset and set everyone else on like the exact same schedule. So all the fatigue advantages are wiped out for an entire like 3-week stretch.
How about the Pistons losing 20 in a row and the Spurs losing 17 in a row? What a league.
I'm old enough to remember the Pistons win total closing 28.5.
I might have bet the over. I might have bet it last night.
You guys are old. Thank you, Drew. Appreciate it, man. Power rankings next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSiN. That's VSIN. The crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin from Barcanada here at the Barrage, the D. downtown Las Vegas. We get tweets. I haven't read any tweets today, Kelly. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Charlie D, USA number one, said, we always hear in college football anything is possible with 18 to 22-year-olds. It feels like this has trickled into the NFL regarding preparation. Do you agree? Man, this isn't the most Plinko thing ever. You know, it's just years and years ago on the Betting Dork podcast, I used to describe ATS, pre-flop ATS NFL as Plinko, the Price is Right game with the chip just falling and then picking up speed and then landing in whatever slot it lands in. It just feels like that's on steroids now. And yeah, man, especially this time of year, like how that, those outcomes yesterday, unbelievable. Just to name a couple.
Yeah.
You want to say?
Nah, it's wild. I don't know that I would still make the same comparison to college. And
I think it's more Plinko than college.
I'm not saying that's not the case. I think
he's talking about the preparation.
That I don't know if that's the case.
And I mean,
those just like the endings are just crazy. Yes. Yeah. I mean, like that is the Titans Dolphins one, especially.
Eric Savoy, just so you guys know, when you kill the Dolphins today, as you should, they did have one starting offensive lineman for 3.5 quarters of the game. That is a good point.
Tyreek, I mean,
Enrique.
It's major. Yeah.
Do you, by the way, what about my question that I asked Drew? Do you think he enhanced his MVP candidacy or not?
It's a fascinating conversation because here's the problem. I think I'm in between on both of you guys where the problem is I don't think if you're not on the field to rack up stats, I almost never believe it can help your case, even though by just what the general why the definition of the award is, yes, I think you're right, right? When a player is off, it's like the same conversation with Jordan Travis, right? It's, well, that's how good he was and how important he was when he's not on the field.
This is from YEM. Why enjoy him? Any thoughts on Jacksonville 8-1 to miss the playoffs? I don't love it because they should being the key word here. They should go 3-1 based on the remaining schedule. So I don't love that. Kevin Ryan, zero chance Miami loses that game if Tyreek doesn't get hurt. If you're holding a Tua MVP ticket, you're cooked. The award is named Most Valuable Player. Oh, I think we can agree on that. I mean, I think the biggest takeaway for the Dolphins was Tua seemed like that was a reminder that he seems to, when any pressure comes, obviously pressure is a bugaboo for every quarterback, but he just seems to cower in it. Mm-hmm. And the play ends, like that last play was just a great example of it. It's like, no, that's just how it's going to end. You're just going to, he got tripped up by his offensive lineman, yeah, again, and then he got sacked. But there was just too many, with Tua not on the field, they just appeared to go absolutely without answers.
Yeah, I think it's a good example like two of what we saw last night with him, of the, you know, like the guys of, you know, Mahomes, Josh Allen, like what part of why some of these guys are so valuable is you can be such elite pocket passers but then also be getting out of the pocket and making plays on the move. And it feels like Tua is like actually fallen into that pocket passer category now and gets stuck in there and can't really make as many plays on the outside.
Power rankings coming up. Definitely changed for me. Jason H11, never left the table. That ain't pride you're swelling with. Oh, talking about you having never seen me or Matt ever use the restroom. Assistant U.S. Attorney Derek Hines said, Gil, with all the Flacco comeback player of the year talk, I took a look at the odds and thought, how is Tua not a great bet? I don't get it. He's playing great, and the image of him on the ground last year was powerful. Yeah, but he had such a terrible game last night. And it's still the DeMar Hamlin thing. I could be wrong about the DeMar Hamlin thing, right? Well,
he's up to minus 500 today.
He's minus 500. I know he's only been active for 2 games and he's made 1 tackle, but we said in the offseason, how are you going to give that reward to anybody else?
Rodgers still 20-1.
Teasers and parlays. Loving the Survivor talk this morning. Hopefully Joe Pita can come on soon and talk strategies. He will be on later this week. Matter of fact, Chris Hartman, Gil, please thank Drew for his Sunday Night Football halftime quick pod. Hit easy, under 26, and lucky Dallas moneyline, but a win is a win. Thanks again. Eric Biggio from Will Hill. Made it to the final 80. Was so bummed when we got knocked out. I didn't want to hear Survivor talk for at least a week. Listening again because there's a zero chance we would have made it through this week. Congrats to the remaining entries. We will say it again. Congrats to the remaining 13 entries. And if you're 13 entries in Survivor, and if you're in Circa Survivor, and if you're still alive in your Survivor pool around the country. Abe Brown. Preface. I recognize this is minuscule in comparison, but to address the psychology of the chop this late in the game, I made it down to the final 4 in my local Survivor losers pool, less than 200 entries. I game theoried my way through the 4 weeks. John Balducci, still in my DK Survivor. I've helped get people elected to the damn U.S. Senate. Survivor is more thrilling. A little humble brag from John Balducci. Good for you, John.
Good for you, John.
D-Gens.
We sit at a bar and talk about sports betting.
Right, I've never gotten anybody elected to the Senate. D-Gens Southern Gent. Drew, give Gil some flowers for pointing out on his show yesterday the asymmetric risk on go-ahead and betting the Chiefs to get the number one seed yesterday prior to the Titans-Dolphins game last night, rather than waiting for a better number. Thank you for the acknowledgement on that. Chance Copperpot, have you guys heard Matt Brown has a new podcast called All Angles? I was disappointed to learn it's not about kicking field goals from different spots. Download and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. That's right. We'll read more tweets coming up. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for NFL Power Rankings. And it goes a little something like this. Plug in. Power. We got changes, Kelly. Not at the top. I still got the Niners 1 and the Ravens 2. Niners 1, Ravens 2. But we have change.
Ba-ba-ba-bum.
I got the Dallas Cowboys at number 3. They're unbeatable at home. Haven't lost there since Thanksgiving of, was that 29? Was it 20 whatever with where they played the Raiders?
Yeah.
2021?
Yeah. 21.
Listen, this is the best Cowboys team we've seen in a long time. Yeah. And I'm a DC guy. I hate that franchise, but I got to give it to them. They can no longer be referred to as a bully. They pop the Eagles in the mouth. Cowboys are 3. Chiefs go down 1. Eagles go down 1 for me. Chiefs to 4. Yeah, over all the Chiefs, anti-Chiefs talk, they were still about to win that game, or at least on the cusp of it. Eagles, they got a lot of problems on defense. They're down to 5. The Bills move up to 6. Again, they're the sneaky, freaky brother sneaking in from the rear, as far as I'm concerned. And the Dolphins drop the most to 7. I think the Tua issues yesterday just leaped through the screen. I just really worry about this team, who has a really rough schedule down the stretch as well. But just to that ball club, you took Tyreek out, and I know they're going to have him, but man, oh man, did that collapse quickly without him. After 7, great group, by the way, R&B, 90s. But after 7, it gets murky. I got the Browns at 8 because Flacco has proven better than any of the quarterbacks, maybe even better than Deshaun, for God's sakes, in terms of his performance this year. So the Browns are at 8. The Jags, now that we know Trevor Lawrence is back, are back to 9, even though they got a bunch of defensive problems. But who else, quite frankly, are you going to put there? And then I have the Texans at 10 and the Lions at 11. So the Lions, who I've had dancing between 10 and 11 all year, the Texans drop to 10 for me. That's what I got. You, sir.
All right. My top 3 are the same as yours.
Same order?
Same order.
Niners, Ravens, Cowboys.
My question for you, do you think it's that, like, is that undisputed top 3 right now?
I don't think it's undisputed, but it's getting tougher and tougher to make a case for anybody else.
I think it's those 3, and I think it's those 3 in that order, too.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it. Clearly, you and I felt the same with that. The big mover in mine, Bills up to 4. We're going up to 4 with the Buffalo Bills.
You got them 4. I got them 6.
Yeah, yep. I made that jump. I'm with you. I felt I needed to swap around some of these teams in the middle. We might have some logos swapped around too. So I moved the Bills up to 4. The
yes,
Eagles, the Eagles, I do have at 5. I think they have their problems right now. I still think the talent, at least the talent in the head coaching, I still believe in a little bit more from what I'm seeing with the Dolphins and the Chiefs recently. So that's why I put the Eagles there. I think this schedule has been so brutal. It's hard to get a real good read on where this team's really at, in my opinion. I think the one thing that's becoming painfully obvious is that yes, the defense has its major struggles in the pass game, but then, the offensive coordinator leaving too, right? That has been very obvious. Dolphins, I put them at 6. Chiefs are the big faller for me. The passing game and the receivers has been a problem all season. I don't know why we should expect it to improve at this point. It's going to plague them throughout.
We do agree that everyone's top 7 should be the same top 7, right? In whatever
yes,
order.
Yes, yeah, because there is a big drop then from Chiefs to Lions to me at 8. I put Jags 9, and Rams were the team that I put in there at 10. Good offense, defense is terrible, but when they've got the 2 wide receivers, running back, and Stafford on the field, oh my gosh, does that offense seem to just be able to move.
It's really an interesting year because there is a tier of seven, and then after that, have at it.
Yeah.
Aaron Schatz will be joining us later this week as well to not only talk about his power rankings, but MVP and all the other awards he's got to vote for. Got to ask him about Reek once again. Coming back, more NFL next.